As many of you might know, I was born at a very early age. And some of you have had children, and as your children start to get older, they tend to mimic you and follow you. I'd like you to go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Today I'd like to share on giving our utmost for His highest. In Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 1 it says, "Be therefore followers of God as His dear children." Ephesians 5:1. So it says here, "Be ye therefore followers of God as His dear children." As many of you know, the word followers means imitators. We're to imitate God as His dear children. It's like a baby watches his family, his dad, his mom, and you kind of make a face, and they make a face, and then you say, "Yuck," and they go, "Yuck," or whatever sound you make, you know. Yeah, they do that too. They'll go, and, you know, they develop all kinds of interesting sounds. And all of us as parents have made those weird sounds. Instead of trying to teach them words, we went, a baby watches his parents, he imitates them. As a teacher, you want your students to follow the instructions that you give them. Or as a student, you follow the instructions that are given to you by your teacher. As a coach, you design plays with which the team is supposed to follow precisely so that they can get the maximum result. They follow. All of life is following. You go to a job, and your boss tells you, "Here is what you're supposed to do," and you say, "No, I don't want to do that." Well, then you will not have a what?
Job.
See how great this is? So you follow. All life is following. And here in this verse, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as is what?" Not just children, dear. That's how we are to God. We heard it today in manifestations. How tenderly, how lovingly, how mercifully He speaks to us, those wonderful words. And they're always a blessing to hear from God. When have you not been blessed hearing a manifestation? Unless you're a jerk. I mean that with all due respect. But God has given us a word so that we can know Him. How can you follow something you don't know? How would you do a 21 option in football if you didn't know what that meant, if you weren't instructed on how that works? You wouldn't know who to block. You wouldn't know your blocking assignments. You wouldn't know what count. You'd be all messed up. You'd never accomplish it. So it is as us with sons of God. We need to know what His word says so that we can follow Him, so that we can imitate Him. We know God is spirit. Spirit has no form. It has no comeliness. He's spirit. So the way He has decided to communicate Himself is words. Words that are written in His word and words that He may reveal to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. In John chapter 3. You know, the word's moving. It's really moving. This weekend, they just completed an advance in Charlotte where we sent the light bearers, who are doing tremendous, and they have 90 people. And, well, 90 people, I guess children are people, so 90 and then 20 children. 90 adults, 20 children. The word's moving. The word is moving. They hadn't had an advance there in over 30 years until last year. Isn't that something? We are spoiled. We have the privilege of doing this all the time. But for them, boy, this is so exciting. The word's moving. It's moving. In John chapter 3, and in verse 16, the old famous verse, but a lot can be learned from this verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting what?" God gave. He gave. And what He gave was so precious. I have one son. My son, regardless of how he thinks, is not perfect. That was a joke. And it says he so loved the world. He loved the people that were without him, without hope. He loved the unlovable. And he so loved the unlovable that he did what? Which was the greatest extension of giving there is. His only begotten son. I have one son. My son was not perfect. He did not do the will of Jerry every day of his life. It's probably good. And yet I would never give him for anyone because I love him so much. God so loved the world. And we were stinkers. All of us were. You know, I can't stand when someone judges someone for something they've done bad. It's just, what's worse, your sin or the person you're pointing a finger at? There is no worse. Sin is sin. God is God. Pizza is pizza. He gave his only begotten son. Why? And the word that means the reason. That whosoever, which is the greatest invitation ever offered to mankind, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting what? What a promise. He so gave. The word gave means to give something to someone. It means to supply. It means to furnish necessary things. Gosh, we have a lot of things in our life that are necessary that we can depend on God to help us. He so loved that he gave to supply, to furnish necessary things. It also means to reach out and extend something to someone. Extend something to someone. He extended a son for us that we could have everlasting life. It's the largest invitation, man. It's the greatest extension of giving and love there's ever been. And we're to be followers of God as is what? Back in Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 2, it says, and walk in love. It says, be therefore followers of God as his dear children. And the next thing it says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. To walk in love. The word walk means to navigate yourself. Navigate one's life. It means to conduct oneself. It means to move forward. God wants us to move forward in love. He wants us to navigate towards love. He wants us to steer the ship towards love. Wow, so cool. Look at John chapter 13. Boy, the manifestations were beautiful. Sometimes you just wonder if God knows what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows what's going to be shared. He prepares people by those beautiful manifestations to hear his word. Jesus said in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you. And these words give and gave are something I want you to pay attention to today as we go through these scriptures. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That was a new commandment, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have what? That's how people know. That's how people know. Giving is always involved in walking in love. Because walking in love is giving. Probably the greatest extension of giving we can do. My very first fellowship, February 1971, people gave of their life to witness to me. They took the time to witness to some stone drunk person to speak the word to me. That took love, and it also took giving. This is fantastic. You know, And then they took me literally to fellowship. They gave of their time. They used their car to come pick me up and drive me to my first fellowship. And then I went there and all these people came and they loved me. They didn't even know who I was. That took giving. As I got into God's word, people helped me. I was a mess. People watched out for me. They watched me from afar and they watched me closely, not to criticize, condemn, or complain, but to help my life. They gave. They didn't need to. They didn't even know me, but they gave to me. They answered questions I had, which requires time and an effort on the person answering the questions. They gave me God's love. They counseled me. Boy, oh boy. Loving one another is what Jesus said people to know you're his disciples. That still works here in 2025. If you have a fellowship that's loving, it's going to be inviting to those who are seeking love. And I'm so blessed that we have the fellowships that we have. It requires giving of oneself. A week ago, a friend of mine, or so a week, maybe a couple weeks ago, informed me that they were having open heart surgery. And I prayed with that person, and then I took a nap. And when I woke up, it was like, go see that person. Now, there we were in Idaho. So I went, and I didn't know anything except go. And in that week, or 5 days actually, I spent 35 hours with that person. Not really thinking of myself at all, but just doing everything and anything I could to bless that person. And I am so blessed that I did that. It took time, all this stuff, my heart, my life. But that's what I'm alive for, to give God's love. That's what I'm alive for. It's what you're alive for too. The love of God is perfected in those who hold on to God's word. 1 John chapter 2. Again, today I was so blessed when people got here. We got here at 11, I guess. And, you know, it's a new place, so you got all these new different things. The person that's here to help us has been very accommodating and kind. But it was different because we hadn't been here before, and it was kind of like an adventure. It still is. Chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 5, it says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Whoso keepeth his word." The word keep, as many of you know, is the word guard. You know, to hold on to attend to very carefully. Whosoever keepeth his word, whoever guards his word, whoever protects God's word, in him is the love of God perfected. Now look, the love of God is not that you smile all the time. If it was, I don't know. I think some of us would be ass out. The love of God is keeping his word. It's caring and all that stuff. It's guarding. It's holding on to. It's to attend very carefully God's word. And those people that have that are people who the love of God is perfected in. And I would like to manifest more and more love in my life. The love of God, yeah. So John 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Verse 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, that's proof that you love him. That's proof that you love him. If you keep God's word, that's proof that you love him. And that's really important to remember. John 15, verses 9 and 10. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. If you keep God's word, you're going to abide in God's love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Was Jesus Christ all love? Was he? Did he throw over the money changer's table? Did he tell Peter, Satan, get thee behind me? Was that loving? Well, I'm going to throw this table over now. If you keep his word, that's how you abide in his love. And God wants us to abide in his love. Look at same chapter, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did Jesus Christ love people? He gave. He gave his whole life. Every moment of his life was a moment of giving. And giving love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this requires an incredible amount of giving. A man lays down his life for his friends. And that's what we are. I hope we're friends. Verse 17 says, these things I command you, that you love one another. This is not a request. It says, these things I command you. A command is something you either do or you don't do. If you don't do it, you're not obeying the command. If you do it, you're obeying the command. To keep God's word, you got to know it. This is the love of God, that we keep it. Keep his commandments. You got to know it to keep it. To know it, you got to study. And studying requires giving of your time. Giving of your time for something that you deem necessary, which is to study his word. So we're to give to those who are born again. We're supposed to do that. That's something that God wants us to do. Look at 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and in verse 1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God. Do we believe that? Yeah. And everyone that loveth him that begat him, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. And again, to keep God's word, you got to know it. To keep anything, you got to know it. You know? You got to know it. Yeah. So we're to love those that are born again. And we get blessed when we keep God's word. We get blessed when we give. I'm much more blessed when I'm giving than when I'm thinking about myself and my own foibles and all the mistakes that I've made in my life and all the things that I said that I regret I said. There's no profit to that. There's no profit to that except to the adversary to get you feel bad about yourself. So when we're giving, we're not in those positions where we're thinking all about ourselves and what we haven't done. We get blessed when we keep God's word. That's absolutely the truth. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22, this is Jesus Christ talking, 37. They asked him what the first great commandment was, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I don't know about you, but if you ever thought about this verse, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's everything. God is a jealous God. He wants it all. He wants our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. He wants us to be all in all the time with him. He desires our fellowship all the time, not just once in a while. He wants it all the time. God's not a convenience store. He wants it all the time, all the time. I don't know what that had to do with anything, so sorry. Mark 12. Mark chapter 12. God's so good. Sometimes it's just such a good idea to take the time and to think of all the things that God has done for you. That'll get you thankful real quick. And then when you're done with thinking of all the things God has done for you, think of all the things that God has done for others. It's quite a list. John 12, verse 33, similar verse. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings, all religious stuff. You know, all religious stuff. All you're doing things for the wrong reasons in the name of God. You don't get any rewards that way. I don't get any rewards doing things because I feel like I have to, and if I don't do those things, I'm going to be judged. God's a loving, kind God. He's not like people, and that's sometimes hard for us to get in our brains, but he isn't. He loves us all the time, even for the things that I did yesterday. He still loves me, and that's amazing to me. And God wants us to be like him concerning love and concerning dealing with people. You know, it says in Deuteronomy that the Lord's portion is his people. That's the Lord's portion. We're what he gets out of it, his people. And he has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. Right? We're all he has. Something. Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. 6. In verse 27 it says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Now that's quite a verse. Who knows what your mailman's like? You still love him. You still do good to him. Bless them that curse you. Well, God bless you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto them, him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Look at this stuff. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? Well, let's think about that. How hard is it to love somebody who loves you? Whoa. Wow. Wow. So you don't even love people that love you. Wow. That's amazing to me. Boy, we need to have a long, long teaching. Is it hard to love people who love you?
No.
Thank you. Doing a great job up here, Jerry. Bringing forth the message. What verse was it? Oh, yeah, verse 32. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. People that aren't even believers love people that love them, right? And it's not hard. When people love you, it's easy to love them back. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners even do the same. Do something good for somebody, they do something good for you. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. That's not why you give, hoping somebody's going to give back to you. Be nice, but that's not why we do it. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he, God, is kind. He's kind to the unthankful and to the what? Okay. Be therefore followers of God as his dear children. Boy, oh boy. You find out where you're at many times when you're dealing with people who aren't believers or people that you don't like who you've crossed off your Christmas list. Let's be kind. Let's be kind. Let's be loving. Be ye, verse 36, therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Again, love requires giving. Love definitely is a huge way that we can give. And when we give, we're not thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about what can we do to bless somebody. A great way to walk in love is to forgive people. That is a great way to do it. And to do it in your heart, not just with your lips, but to actually forgive people. And I tell you, I'm very thankful that I have a bad memory when it comes to things like people doing you wrong. I don't remember that. I refuse to. I have too much to do. I don't like that type of space occupying my mind. I can't live like that. I've done many people wrong. I've said things in my life that are wrong, that if I could take back, I would take back. But there's nothing I can do about it. And the only thing you could do about it, if you were the recipient of that, is to forgive me. Same with me and you. And when you really do that, you don't bring it back up again. When God forgives us, he doesn't bring back your old, as a matter of fact, he says he remembers them no more. Remember that in the Old Testament? Do you? Be followers of God as his what? Well, that would be a good one to apply in our life. It would make us a lot more happy. I'm not happy when I think about somebody who did me wrong. All it does is disturb me. So wouldn't it be better to just let it go? If you've reproved them or if you've handled it, then there's nothing you can do except forgive them. Why hold on to baggage? Why hold on to garbage in your mind? It's not profitable for anything. Yep. Ephesians 4. That is a tremendous way to walk in love, is to forgive people. Many of us, the people that we love the most is our spouses. Have you ever argued with your spouse? No. You've argued with your spouse more than anybody else in your life. And yet you love them and you forgive them. Well, I hope you do that. Otherwise, you got a crummy marriage. You know. Well, that's another topic. But, you know, the people that you love the most, you have disputes with. Some perfect marriages that I see in here, a bunch of them, you don't have that problem. But for us pedestrians, we do at times. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. God wants us to put that stuff away. Bitterness is horrible. Yeah. Many times bitterness starts in anger. And if it's not taken care of, like it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You hold on to that, eventually you become bitter. And if you hold on to bitterness long enough, you become apathetic. And that's no way to live. It's no way to live. Let it go. How do you do it? Verse 32. and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, where do we want to start pointing fingers, you know? I don't want to be the first one in line to start pointing fingers. Be kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, and forgiving, if you break it down, it's forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Remember what God has forgiven us for. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. You know, the word of God is moving. It's moving all over the place. Bob was just came back from his trip to Ecuador. The word is moving in South America. The word is moving in Charlotte. The word is moving in Florida. The word is moving in North Carolina and Atlanta and other places, in New York and Connecticut. You know, and I'm sure it's moving other places, but these are just in California. Holy moly, our California guys are doing tremendous. And it's just a blessing to see. You know, when we started Harbor Light, or even before that, I never, and it's bad on me, I never envisioned how this word was going to move from here. You know, I was interested to do my best to take care of the people in New Jersey to the best of my ability with the people that we had to lead. And it's blown up. I mean, it's really exploded in a great, great way. And if you guys that are younger stand, you're in for it, because it's going to go all over the world. You're going to see people in every state in the country that associates with you if we keep doing this. It's been amazing to me. We've had a little over 100 fellow laborers, and from those fellow laborers, we've had over 30 different fellowships start. That's amazing to me. I've never really envisioned that. And my vision was probably not great, but it's greater now than it's ever been, just because of the people that have stood on God's word and have the willingness and desire to keep it moving and growing. So thank you. You guys are just unbelievably great believers. It wouldn't happen without you, without the old stalwarts like Nick and Maria. I got you married to somebody else, Nick. That's the other Nick and Maria. That's Nick and Carol. I mean, they were the first believers here, basically. You think the words would have moved? Like Raleigh and Nancy, come on now. They are pillars of this church. Tony and Kimberly. So I'm going to miss somebody. All of you. Each and every one. And that's true, too. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. The elect of God? We get all crazy over a stupid presidential election. What is it called? Presidential election? Golly, God Almighty elected us. He selected us. He did. He did the choosing, and the devil did the losing. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Holy. That's how he sees us. Beloved. Bowels of mercy. Bowels of mercy. God wants us to put on bowels of mercy. Kindness. These are not questions. These are commands that God has given to us in the New Testament and the church epistles. Put it on. Put it on. He doesn't say, please, if you're in a good mood today, would you think about maybe? No. Put on. Put it on. You put your clothes on. That's how he wants us to do it. Put on the elect, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. Don't be a know-it-all. We know him who does know it, but we don't know anything, hardly. Long-suffering. We forbear one another. We forgive one another. There it is, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Boy, oh boy, look at all those beautiful things just in a couple verses. Put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbear one another, forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, forgive, just forgive. And above all these things, put on the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. That's something, man. Really, really something. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're to give our utmost to his highest. And this love of God covers and embodies a whole lot of things, some of which I've mentioned, some of which I haven't, because I don't know the full extent of the love of God. But I sure know that it's a big deal. It's the very deal that Jesus Christ said, this is how people will know you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. And boy, oh boy, we need to continue to do that. As the years go by, become more and more loving, become more and more tender, more and more willing to give, no matter what it is, that you'd be willing to do whatever God wanted you to do at a drop of a hat, even if it involved incredible change in your life. Change is good if it's good. Thank you. And to follow that, change is bad if it's bad. Do you know, I actually was allowed to teach at a college once. Anyway, that's all another story. It was a philosophy class. That's why. I would also like to inform you, those of you who don't know me, in college, I had a 4.0 average. I did. 3 incompletes and 1 A. Then I dropped out. And the A was, I took the psychology of love and marriage as an 18-year-old, right? And our final essay is, what is love? I said, love is being happy and sad at the same time. A. Boom! Yeah, worked hard on that one. But people have so many wacky ideas about what love is, you know, when God's word describes it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not the love of God, charity is the word agapeo, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not the love of God, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, you know, great philanthropist, and have not the love of God, it doesn't profit me anything. The love of God suffereth long. And the older you get, the more you realize that. Because it does mean, you know, you have to endure a lot of things in this life. But it's kind. Love of God envieth not. Oh, I wish I could be like them. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, doesn't get mad every 20 seconds, thinketh no evil, it doesn't come to the conclusion of evil. It doesn't mean you can't see when things are wrong, but you don't come to the conclusion of it all the time with people. You can't do it. It thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what?
Truth.
The word is truth. So here it says, rejoices in the truth. What do we rejoice in? That'll tell you a little bit about where you're at. Beareth all things concerning the truth. Believeth all things concerning the truth. That's the context. Hopeth all things concerning the truth. Endureth all things concerning the truth. The love of God never what? Man, oh man, it might look like it sometimes, but doggone it, in the end, it just doesn't fail. And I'd rather be hurt than hard. I'd rather give than just receive all the time. I'd rather bless someone than have somebody bless me, maybe. You know, it's all about giving. It's all about giving what God has made available for us to give. Sometimes we're just so selfish. It's me, me, me. It sounds like an opera. Me, 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 me. You know, and it's not that. Back in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as his dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. God wants us to mimic him by loving. He wants us to love. Let's continue to walk in love and give our utmost for his highest. Give our utmost for his highest. I'd like to read you something that Dr. Worrell shared many, many years ago. To love people requires courage. It's the ability to take a risk. It's the readiness even to accept pain and disappointment. Whoever insists on safety and security as primary conditions of love cannot really have believing. Whoever shuts themselves off in a system of defense where distance and possessions are his means of security makes him a prisoner. To be loved and to love requires courage, the courage to judge certain values as of ultimate concern and to take the jump and stake everything on these values. To love means to commit oneself without guarantee, to give oneself completely in the hope that our love will produce love in the loved person. Love is an act of believing, and whosoever is of little believing is also little love. Mature love is union under the condition of preserving one's integrity, one's individuality. Love makes a man overcome the sense of isolation and separateness, yet it permits him to be himself. And boy, that was one of the greatest things when I got in the Word to realize that I could be myself, that I didn't have to be like somebody else, that I could, and that was my prayer when I was 19 years old. I wrote down on a piece of paper, I want to be the best Jerry Carr for God I can be. And I didn't care if I was a plumber, a painter, I didn't care what I did. I just wanted to be the best Jerry Carr for God I could be, which will never be accomplished. It could always, you know, use improvement, but that's something that, it's just an awesome thing. Love makes a man overcome the sense of isolation and separateness, yet it permits him to be himself. In love, the paradox occurs that two beings become one yet remain two. It's kind of like marriage. It's hardly necessary to stress the fact that the ability to love is an act of giving which depends on the character development of the person. It presupposes to attainment of a predominantly productive orientation. In this orientation, the person has overcome dependency, narcissistic omnipotence, which means loving oneself infinitely. It's the wish to exploit others or to hoard and has acquired believing in God's ability in him. It's courage to rely on God in the attainment of his goals. To the degree that these qualities are lacking, he's afraid of giving himself, hence of loving. Love is an active concern for the life and the growth of that which we have and that which we love. Infantile love follows the principle, I love because I'm loved. Mature love follows the principle, I'm loved because I love you. Immature love says, I love you because I need you. Mature love says, I need you because I love you. People neglect to see an important factor in love, that of will. To love somebody is not just a strong feeling, it's a decision, it's a judgment, it's a promise. If love were only a feeling, there would be no basis for the promise to love each other forever. An act of will guarantees the continuation of love. Respect for one's own integrity and uniqueness Love for and understanding of one's own self cannot be separated from respect and love and understanding for another individual. The love for my own self is inseparably connected with the love that I have for any other being. Genuine love is an expression of productiveness and employs care, respect, responsibility, and knowledge. It is not an effect in the sense of being affected by somebody, but it's an active striving for the growth and happiness of the loved person, rooted in one's capacity to love. It requires discipline, concentration, patience, concern. If I am attached to someone because I can't stand on my own two feet, he or she may be a lifesaver, but the relationship's not one of love. When you go by the word, you'll be blessed by your feelings. So, Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing your word, that we can give our utmost for your highest just because of the love that you extended towards us, and that we can do the same toward one another, that we can give that love with everything that's in us, and that we can help people understand you by loving each other, that people will know that we're his disciples. People will know that we're the real deal and not a bunch of phony balonies. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of life that you've given us. And every day, Father, is so precious. It's one more day to be able to do our best to believe you. Thanks for giving us a word that's so true, and that, Father, by your word, we can just live our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.